Hey, everybody, welcome to yet another goddamn edition of our favorite show, Flash Fries.
Speak for yourself, TJ.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is one of the more painful parts of our shooting week.
And someone I remember I was reading on the, I think it might have been the subreddit, or maybe it was a comment section. I don't remember where the fuck
it was. A hive of scum and villainy.
Yes, but someone was like, I can't believe they don't love Flash Fried like we do. Like, really? I don't know.
Speak for yourselves, guys. I love Flash Fried. The world's in a great state.
Yeah, it's always fun. Anyway, we got a lot, so we'll get right to it.
Let's dive on in.
So here's I wanted to open with a story that pisses me off about my chosen candidate.
Yippee skippy.
Sanders apologizes to Biden for surrogates critique.
I would just like to take a moment here while my campaign is gaining momentum to suck the saggy old balls of Joe Biden, my friend.
Like, what are you doing, Bernie? Yeah. Why?
So the opinion piece by Zephyr Teachout accused Joe Biden of having a big corruption problem,
which he does.
I've never met anyone named Zephyr Teachout, so that's definitely a first for me.
Yeah, dude, Zephyr Teachout.
I haven't met them, clearly, but just that's a unique name.
Biden does have a giant corruption problem.
Yeah, so I'll read a couple paragraphs out of here to kind of give us a little bit of a basis. Senator Bernie Sanders apologized to Joseph R. Biden Jr. on why are you using, like, we know who Joe Biden is. You don't need to do all the fuck this, all this Joseph R. Biden Jr. bullshit.
If they hadn't put the junior part, we'd have been like, huh?
On Monday, after Sanders' campaign surrogate wrote an opinion article accusing the former vice president of having a big corruption problem.
He does.
Mr. Sanders distanced himself from the piece by Zephyr Teachout, an associate professor at Fordham Law School, former New York political candidate and longtime supporter of Mr. Sanders. The op-ed, published on Monday in The Guardian, argued that Mr. Biden represents the transactional, grossly corrupt culture in Washington that long precedes Trump.
Correct.
So that's what Bernie's
like, no,
that's what Bernie disagrees with.
Oops.
Isn't that central to Bernie's campaign?
No, apparently not. It is absolutely not my view that Joe is corrupt in any way.
The fuck
out
of here.
And I'm sorry that op-ed appeared.
Let's be real. Why this happened was the DNC went to fucking Bernie's campaign and is like, nope, you got to say Joe's not corrupt. And obviously, Bernie's under the auspices of what he's doing, the only way he's going to fucking run is he has to run with the DNC. In a sense, they have to nominate him to be president. So
I think it's a little simpler than that. I don't even know that the DNC had to get involved in this one. I think
they've already been involved. They've already been attacking Bernie in the media. I don't agree with you at all. Then,
well, no, I don't think it was I don't think the DNC is who pressured Bernie to say this. I think it was just the simple fact of his campaign looking at the 21 or so percent of Joe Biden supporters and being like, we want that. So
you think it's just that's probably a factor in it as well. But I mean, I don't think he's doing himself any favors within, you know, his base of support, because you're a Bernie supporter. But this move to you is like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, like I saw, Kyle Kulinski, who could not be further up Bernie Sanders' ass. No insult intended there.
Insult intended, clearly, TJ.
Was
a little pot shot at Kyle.
Highly
huh?
critical of that. No, I was not. And Humanist Report, another big Bernie Sanders supporter online, similar feelings, just kind of like, oh, this is repugnant. Why are you doing this?
Because is there any way?
Tracy, a lot of people I follow on Twitter.
Does anyone sitting here believe that Bernie actually believes what he said?
No.
Okay. Then you shouldn't have said it.
I don't buy. I mean, first of all, Joe Biden is corrupt. There's no doubt about that in my fucking mind.
I mean, I know we love to talk about Trump in the Ukraine, but what about with Biden? Biden oversaw, what is it, $1 billion is going to go to the Ukraine, and his son sat on the board of an oil company, made $83,000 a month, but that's not corruption.
But see, you're not allowed to talk about that because that's a Trump talking point.
So what if Trump is right?
It's automatically bad.
I don't care.
Trump can't be right,
if
Scotty.
Trump is
that's
right
the
about
first
something,
rule is Trump's never right.
Trump's wrong about everything, Scotty.
He's not.
Yes, he is, Scotty.
He's not.
Then you're a Trump supporter.
You're a right.
Trump supporter.
You're a
right-wing
racist, homophobe, xenophobe.
Scotty's a Trump supporter. You heard him. He
you
said
what,
that
Scotty?
Trump is right.
Oh, you know what, Scotty?
About this.
You sit tight, buddy. You sit the fuck tight.
Oh, yeah. We got something tight for you, Trump supporter. TJ's going to go get you your MAGA hat, I bet.
I'm not a Trump supporter, though.
It's what you need.
I'm just saying that Joe Biden is clearly corrupt.
That's what Trump says, though.
Yeah, and Trump's right.
Trump's wrong about everything. Everything he says is a lie.
What is the school your own bullshit?
Everything Trump says is a lie.
There you go, Scotty.
Thanks, TJ.
There you go.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wear that crown of shit upon your liar's chair.
You're probably going to break this chair by doing that. This piece of shit fucking chair is going to collapse. I'm going to be impaled on it where I'm working. I'm going to be found dead with a
MAGA
hat on.
Dude, I'm so scared that the bottom of this chair is going to break and cornhole me. I know. I just feel like one day it's going to happen.
Joe Biden is clearly corrupt. Bernie Sanders knows that Joe Biden is corrupt. And let me just play an ad that even just cements that further, because this is an ad that literally came out the same day that Bernie Sanders defended Joe Biden against one of his surrogate's accusations of corruption. Or just merely stating the fact that Joe Biden is fucking corrupt, if we're honest.
Oh, 100%.
When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice, I tried it a third time, and I tried it a fourth time.
Well, we've got some bad news for them. We are not going to cut Social Security. We're going to expand benefits.
So where do you think Joe Biden came across this anti-Social Security fucking position? Could it be moneyed interest coming to him and saying, oh, we don't like this?
Yeah, you can't raise taxes on us, so you better stop spending.
What fucking... Joe Biden was funded by a bunch of credit card companies. They gave him a ton of money. That's why he also pushed through his bankruptcy act to make it harder for people to declare bankruptcy. From what debt? Well, what debt do people commonly... Oh, it's credit cards, because they get medical bills and they put them on credit cards and they can't pay them.
So let me ask you this. If a powerful moneyed interest comes to you and says, hey, here's some money, this is your new position, and you take that position, is that not corruption?
Yes. Yeah.
Especially, Bernie Sanders has called this a system of legalized bribery. So how the fuck are you going to draw the line at the word corruption?
You know what bribery?
Like, that's the problem.
You know what bribery has to be in this country at this point? If you want to be busted for being corrupt, it's literally going to have to be something like you plainly taking money to do something. So it's like you have to promise something. You can't. So like what they're doing is saying, oh, yeah, I agree with your position. Your position has swayed me. So it's not corruption, TJ, because they've been swayed over to this new position.
Oh, yeah.
And a big part of the game when it comes to, like, smaller, like, national-level politicians that aren't necessarily in the media spotlight is courting them with job offers after they're sent. So you can come and work for us lobbying this body. And so they don't even really – there's no real monetary exchange, just a promise of a lucrative job as soon as their term is up.
And it happens all the time. I mean, look – what happened to Bill Clinton? He was fucking hugely in debt, and then he gets paid like $500,000, $250,000, $100,000 to speak at some fucking, you know, goddamn credit card convention or whatever. It's just a kickback.
Well, that's another thing, too, is like these politicians fly all over the fucking world and give speeches at corporate events. How do you think they're taken care of? Do you think they're staying at the Motel 6? You think they're coming out of pocket for their fucking suite? Hell fucking no. It's like a little mini vacation for them. Yeah, you come do a speech and then spend the rest of the week in fucking Vienna at our expense.
Look at fucking the house Obama just bought. Look at these fucking all these politicians who are in the fucking positions of power live now. They fucking live in fucking goddamn grandeur. It's a joke.
Well, let me ask you this,
though.
People
are corrupt. They obviously are.
So let me ask you this. Doesn't this ad, in so many words, already kind of say Joe Biden is corrupt? Which is just without using the word? So what is the point of backing down on that?
See, I see people saying that, like, oh, Bernie's trying to run a clean campaign. He's trying to not go low. He's trying to.
That's not low.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is not a personal attack against Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is a rapist or something. That's low.
Or Joe Biden, you know, abuses his wife or some, you know, whatever it is. This is literally like Joe Biden is a career politician who has undoubtedly done this transaction of money or favors or trips or promises in exchange for votes probably thousands of times in his career.
Yeah, and also kickbacks for people that are in his social circle.
This is like Bernie. This is one of the central strengths of Bernie's campaign. And he can't help but undermine himself by not calling out the people up on the stage that are clearly sold out.
Yeah, it's like
100%. Constantly throwing his arm around these people going, these are my friends.
Joe Biden is a friend of mine. I love Joe. I think Joe's a great guy, an example to us all, a shining beacon.
And it's like, shut up. No, he's not.
He's not.
Don't do that.
You I don't care.
He doesn't
maybe
even
Bernie,
need
Bernie. Maybe Joe Biden on a one-on-one level is a real agreeable fella, and you know that's fine. But it doesn't change the fact
when it comes to running the country, he's everything that you run against.
Right. So
he's money in politics. He's a bought out corporate interest in politics. And if you don't start calling out the people around you for that, see, the only person that Bernie will call out like that is Trump.
Right.
As if Trump is the font from which all corruption emanates.
He'll call it out. He'll call it out on the Democratic side, but never by name.
Right.
It's always like, you know, and a lot of Democrats are bought out. You know, it's like, no, not you can't.
When you're a competing
against that person. You have to be fucking specific. Especially when you're running against this fucking guy. You know, don't fucking shut up your if Bernie didn't want to touch the corruption thing, it would have been much better for him to say, look, that's an opinion of this person. It doesn't necessarily reflect what I think, but you know, he could have pivoted to his actual the criticisms he's actually comfortable making of Joe Biden. Because I mean, my understanding is Bernie wants to run this clean campaign, but he's got these surrogates out there who are willing to go a little further than him in terms of their rhetoric so that it's not him that's saying it, which is a pretty common fucking political tactic.
But it creates this horrible political moment where fucking Bernie Sanders, at a time when he's really trying to win points from Joe, has to basically fucking give Joe cover for shit that he's done for no political benefit.
Bernie Sanders never should have fucking walked back something one of his surrogates said. At most, you could say,
well,
look,
I mean,
that's their opinion
on what
and they're entitled to it. But.
Yeah, if he said some fucking horrible, ridiculous thing.
If he said something demonstrably false or just ridiculous, then sure.
Joe Biden raped a woman in 1982, you know, something like that.
Yeah, then I could totally see Bernie being like, look,
unless there was a lot of evidence that he raped a woman.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, assuming that there's not.
Look at this ad. What did this ad, I mean, Joe Biden made those statements. Joe Biden, everything that Joe Biden's been called on, Joe Biden did. And it's obvious that that's what happened. I mean,
took him out of context.
Yeah, Joe Biden.
They took Crazy Uncle Joe out of context.
Was essentially a fucking goddamn Republican when he's making statements like, let's cut all these fucking social programs.
I tried to do it once. I tried to do it twice. Yeah. I tried to do it three times.
I mean, he's
basically tried to do it four times.
He's arguing for the antithesis of what a campaign like Bernie's is about. So
you know
to say Joe Biden's not corrupt is just, there's no way
you know
to
what
Bernie
Joe Biden's. You know what Joe Biden's saying now? He's saying that his entire career, his 40-year career, he's not only has he fought to preserve Social Security, but he's tried to expand it.
Well, here's the thing. When he says cut it, that's the argument he's going to make. Well, I'm preserving it because, see, if we make these cuts, it'll last longer.
Oh, it's going to save it.
It's going
to
save it.
And, I mean, on Tim Russert, he really lays it out, like, to the point where you can't even deny it. Like, you watch that Tim Russert interview with Joe Biden.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, he just completely lays out exactly what you just said. That's the case he's trying to make.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
But now he's trying to say, because that position is now completely untenable, now all of a sudden he never held it.
Well, no. Look, people like that as a talking point, but in point of fact, a bunch of Trump supporters are on Social Security. They don't want that shit cut, and a bunch of I don't think there's anyone on the Democratic side that wants to cut it. At least, I mean, maybe they do want to cut it, but they're going to at least pay lip service and say, "No, we want to expand it. We want to protect it."
CNN poll: Bernie Sanders surges to join Biden atop Democrat. No, he passed Biden.
Yeah, it looks like the blue line is over the red line in that graph that you're showing.
Okay, so look, overall, 27% of registered voters who are Democrat or Democrat-leaning independents back Sanders, while 24% favor Biden. So
it's within the poll's margin of error.
It is in the poll's margin of error. But you know what? When Hillary Clinton was beating Trump in the poll's margin of error, it's like 99% chance Hillary, y'all. Oh, Hillary's got it. Hillary's dominant. This thing of like all of a sudden they care about the margin of error is a convenient fucking cop out, but it is within the margin of error. Okay, so they are in a fucking dead heat. There was another poll that was released today that showed Biden on top. So, you know, obviously you got lots of different polls and all this other stuff. CNN clearly fucking despises Bernie Sanders, and they're the ones who did this poll, so they're obviously not going to be tilting the scales for Bernie.
Let's be honest, TJ. The fucking DNC, where did the fucking first thing about the sexist smear about Bernie come out?
CNN.
There you go. I mean, that's why you get headlines like this, where he joins Biden.
Oh, he joined him.
So, but that still implies...
Let me ask you this. If the script was flipped and Biden was at 27 and Bernie was at 24, would we be talking about how
Biden tops Bernie.
Yeah. Biden continues to hold lead over Bernie Sanders in Iowa poll.
And it'd be like, well, you could note that it is within the margin, but it looks like Biden is ascending.
Well, this is a national poll. This is not an Iowa poll.
Oh, it's not... Okay, excuse me.
This is a national poll.
So it's a national poll.
Just making that clear.
Gotcha.
But you know, there's some stuff for Bernie that in this poll that doesn't look that great as well. Like a lot of people were asked, like, who has the best chance of beating Trump, and Biden's up on that. who has the best chance of unifying the party. Biden is leading in that one. So as far as, like, people's personal preference goes, it seems like Bernie's starting to pull ahead, but a lot of people still have these notions in their head that Biden is the unifier and that he's the one who's going to galvanize the party against Trump and all this other stuff.
Nothing be further from the truth.
Which, you know, and the reality is, if you fucking put Biden up there, a lot of people like me, you're just not going to show up to the fucking, you know, the party. So not that it matters since I live in fucking bumfuck Louisiana. But anyway, that's an interesting thing. But this is fun. Nobody likes him. Hillary Clinton reignites feud with Bernie.
Does she even know who the fuck she is?
Apparently not.
Nobody likes Bernie coming out of the mouth of Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so
is this an Onion article?
No, sadly not. Let's just read the fucking quote here.
Oh, did I call this projection on Twitter, dude? This is projection personified.
He was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. Clinton said he was a career politician. It's all just baloney. And I feel so bad that people got suckered into it.
You know who said that, too? That's a Republican talking point. How is Hillary not a fucking Republican?
She is.
I mean, because she fucking is. She just said the fucking talking point I've heard used against Bernie. Bernie's a do-nothing. When he was in Congress, he did nothing. When he was in the Senate, he did nothing.
Dude, the fucking mainstream Democrats of today would be moderate Republicans 40 or 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, undoubtedly.
So there's no doubt in my mind that we're looking at a fucking Republican talking point coming out of somebody that we consider to be a major Democratic leader. It's like there's no choice. There's no choice anymore.
You know, you have
the Secretary Clinton, as you know, said that.
That's for later.
Yeah, you have Hillary come out and attack Bernie. You have the fucking goddamn you have Warren come out and attack Bernie. You have the New York Times. Oh, well, we're going to get to that later. You have all these things in the media that's like just continuously, like everything I read about Bernie, even if it starts off like, well, Bernie's a good guy, it ends with just like, we really just need a woman president. Or Bernie's just, you know, he's too crazy, he's too out there, he's too radical. And we just see this time and time again, these stupid fucking talking points come out of these people who are supposedly liberals and progressives. And then you have something like this. Nobody likes him. Where's this, the schoolyard now? Nobody likes Bernie. Everyone likes me, Hillary. No one likes Hillary fucking Clinton. You know what the best evidence of that is, Hillary? You fucking got beat by an orange buffoon. So fuck you. What the fuck do you know about this shit? You got beat by Obama, and then you got beat by fucking Trump. What do you have to fucking say for yourself? You're not a fucking goddamn progressive. At least Obama sold out. What the fuck did you do? You just fucking showed up and like, where's my paycheck? I'm president now, right? Oh, the glass ceiling. You know what? The glass ceiling's intact for you, isn't it? Fuck this woman, man. I'm so fucking sick of her. She's
and I mean, like
go away. Go fucking die.
On top of everything Scotty just said, she's just wrong. I mean, like, poll after poll shows Bernie Sanders is, bar none, the most popular politician in this country. He's the most well-liked.
I went on Twitter, and I fucking posted a Gallup poll from July 2019. It showed the favorability of Democratic candidates within the Democratic Party. You know who's number one?
Bernie.
Bernie fucking Sanders. So who's this nobody likes him? Nobody likes you,
I mean, let's
Hillary.
Be clear. When she says nobody likes him, she means nobody within the political establishment likes him, which I don't even think that's true. But even if it was, like, do you really think ordinary Americans give a fuck about who the fucking Democrats in Washington approve of?
No. Like, that's actually a good sign to me,
yeah,
about him as a politician, because the entrenched fucking ticks that are currently serving in the higher posts in the DNC all fucking suck, and I don't want them to like it.
And you know what? Here's another thing.
Entrenched ticks,
like, is like, this just goes to show you. And by the way, she also said that she wouldn't campaign for him if he won the nomination.
Well, way to be gregarious.
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, no one wants that anyway, so thank you for your I mean, like, it's probably one of the most glowing endorsements Bernie could get.
Not
is
to
an
mention,
attack from Hillary.
Doesn't that prove how much of a fucking bigger person?
But you know what?
I mean, Bernie
think
is
about
Hillary.
This. Think about this. Now, I don't like these decisions by Bernie Sanders, but think about them as in terms of capitulating to fucking Hillary. He conceded the nomination smoothly and easily, which he didn't have to do. There was fucking ways
campaign
he could have contested
her.
That. He campaigned. He did 37 fucking campaign stops for this woman.
With her. I mean, not every time, but a lot of times he went on stage with Hillary.
A lot of times he was sent to states that her ass couldn't even be bothered to go to try to campaign for her. Remember, even when they were opponents, he fucking dropped the email thing against her. He could have used that as a line of attack, but instead he's like, no one cares about your damn emails.
Right.
And I see him doing the same thing with Joe Biden right now.
And how'd it work out with Hillary, Bernie? How's that working out? Oh, look, she seems so gracious towards you now.
We're going to get another DNC.
You really built, you really made sure that bridge stayed in place, huh, Bernie?
That's the,
with all that capitulation, you realize you got like ass-kissing.
You've got a huge chance of watching another fucking nomination where Bernie stands up and gives a speech for fucking
Listen,
Joe Biden.
Joe is the greatest, and I've always
It's about unifying the country. And right now, the best thing that we can do is to support my friend Joe.
No, it's not. No, like, it's fucking not.
See, this is just... That's the thing that pisses me off the most about Bernie, by far.
Me too.
I hate that fucking side of him.
It's
the
reason
it.
I cannot support him.
It doesn't. It's not a deal breaker for me the way it is for you, but it really bothers me. It really fucking bothers me. And this is what you get, Bernie. This is what you fucking get when you capitulate to these people. This is what you get when you try to hold out the olive branch and
they
form
bite
a fucking,
your fucking
coalition
ass.
With the... Like, you can't have a coalition with this lizard cunt.
They come around when you're in the most need of support and take little fucking pot shots at you. This is what happens when you suck their asses.
So stop. Stop!
When it comes to Clinton, too, this is just the sourest of grapes.
Oh, my God.
Out.
Fuck
she
her.
Is just so...
It's the Bernie bros.
It was Bernie. It was Russia.
Yeah, because she...
It was everything but me.
Because she fucking blames the Bernie bros for her loss. Oh, if everyone... This is basically what Hillary's saying. If everyone just got out of my way, if I run unopposed for the highest office in all of the lands, then I would have won. I mean, what fucking planet do you live on? We're supposed to have a thriving fucking republic. We're supposed to have a thriving democracy. People like have an exchange of ideas, and what you're saying is my way or the fucking highway. What is this?
She's just an old sour politician who's increasingly out of touch with what used to be her base, and she wants to blame everybody else for that. When the truth is, she lost to the fattest, dumbest, oldest, stupidest fucking politician that's ever been put at the masthead of a fucking party. And she lost to him fair and square, according to our system. She wasn't able to generate the excitement in the places she needed to beat the stupidest fuck that's ever been put up to be the president of the United States. That's the truth about her.
So let's look at a few notable reactions to this, this event. So first I want to look at Tulsi, because, the thing that she says in this interview, there's a specific comment she makes that was totally my first reaction when I heard this fucking thing break.
All right.
It's time to grow up. You know, this isn't high school.
Let me play that again because it was a little low.
Look, it's time to grow up. You know, this isn't high school.
Yeah. That high school comment, it totally felt like fucking high school to me. What kind of insult for two grown people is nobody likes you?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's even high school. That sounds like a five-year-old.
Yeah, it really sounds like fucking kindergarten.
No one likes you, TJ.
You're a poo-poo head and nobody likes you.
Oh, my God. That Bernie kid is such a freak. Nobody likes him. It's, like, so sad. Look at him. He's just, like, nobody even cares.
That, like, hunched over Josh Kahn.
Yeah, if he died tomorrow, like, literally nobody would care. You'd be like, Bernie who? You know what I mean?
I bet even like his parents would probably be like...
Yeah, they'd probably just bury him in the backyard in an unmarked grave and forget he ever existed.
I bet they'd throw him in the trash.
And then the trash guys would see it and not even call the cops because they'd be like, it's just Bernie. It's that Bernie kid. Who cares? Take him to the dump.
She then just pivots to... her like, yeah, I'm the greatest.
You're not. Drop out.
Yeah, and look at
out, Tulsi.
I mean, like the fact that you're giving this speech in front of a fucking Tulsi van.
Yeah,
not a bus, a van. Kind of shows you are not serious contender. So
Bernie got a bus, dude.
Yeah, he's got a bus.
Bernie's got a bus. Biden got a bus.
Delaney has a bus.
He needs to run.
Delaney.
Around. The Oscar Mayer wiener.
Dude, I cannot.
Bus.
I
Delaney has a bus. I repeat, Delaney has a bus.
I cannot wait, because it's an upcoming episode. I cannot wait for people to hear about the sad desperation of the Delaney campaign.
She's got a van that looks like in an alternate universe it has free candy written on the side of it, all right? You're not a contender. Get out of here.
I will say it looks like a good paint job around.
I mean,
though.
Yeah, it's a nice van. You know what? Tulsi had her little shot to make a fucking splash. I like Tulsi all right. She's got a lot of policies I agree with. I agree with her ending all these foreign adventures and stopping with the imperialism and shit. I think that's a great idea. She ain't got a chance.
You drop lose, out. Tulsi.
Go on. Just go
you
on.
Lost.
Yeah, it happened.
I don't know why you gave up your congressional seat for this, but
that was a stupid idea.
That was a bad idea. I think a lot of I think maybe she's I think she has senatorial ambitions is why she did that. That's what I'm hearing from people. Then of course the people who want to smear her kind of say she's angling for a Fox News, but you don't have to angle for that. They'd give her that anyway. If she wanted that, she could already have that.
Yeah.
She'd have
100%.
She'd have it.
So Trump also reacted. Trump responds to Clinton's comments against Sanders. Nobody likes her.
Yes.
This is why Hillary lost. He's not even really involved in sniping at these people much anymore, but he still gets one up on Hillary Clinton.
Dude, if there's one that I love about the Hillary-Trump dynamic, all right, is how Trump always comes out on top of Hillary.
He's like the idiot that always makes good.
I know.
He's like Jerry to her Tom, dude.
Yep.
President Trump says nobody likes Hillary Clinton, turning the former Secretary of State's comment about Bernie Sanders against her. When Hillary says nobody likes him, nobody likes her. That's why she lost. Nobody liked her. The president told Fox Business Network.
Dude, when this election
he goes on. She had every advantage. She had this big machine behind her, and it wasn't even close. It was actually pretty close. She's the one that people don't like. If I had my choice in terms of personality, I might take him over her. I probably wouldn't take neither. I probably would take neither. Sorry.
Of course.
I mean,
Trump is the sickest Burns ever, dude. Especially
listen,
against
she
Hillary.
Had the whole machine behind her. Nobody liked her.
Well, dude, remember, when this election went on, we were living in fucking Bellevue, Washington, a bastion of liberal fucking goddamn thought.
I didn't see a Hillary sign.
And, we saw, one or two Hillary stickers or, bumper stickers the entire time. I was looking for them. I'm like, where's all the fucking signs and shit? And it's like, there's no signs. No one gave a fuck about Hillary. It was just like, either they just assumed Hillary was going to win, or there's some lukewarm supporters. We saw the fucking goddamn campaign rallies. Hillary just got, this is what happened. Hillary thought this was a fucking layup. She thought she was just going to go in there. Yep, I got it. I'm president. And when it wasn't, she just didn't know what the fuck to do. She just thought, I'm running against Donald Trump. How can I lose this shit? And she just managed to do it.
Yeah, well, you can tell she didn't settle on, wow, I need to examine myself. She definitely blamed literally everybody else in the world for her woes.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, good job, Grandpa Trump. Give him a slice of chocolate cake for that one.
Trump still dunking on Hillary after all this time.
I know.
Oh my God, it's so great.
So let's see how
it
the
never
man,
gets old.
Let's see how the man himself responded. He was cornered as he was at the impeachment stuff in Washington, as his oath requires of him and all that bullshit. And reporters didn't want to ask him about the impeachment. They didn't give a shit because they know really America doesn't give a shit. And it's a total debacle. And by the way, there's no impeachment stories on today's show because who gives a fuck?
Well, right now Trump is not being impeached anyway.
Yeah, so it's whatever, foregone conclusion.
If he gets removed
from office, then we'll cover that, obviously. But that's not going to happen. So of course, the only thing any of these reporters wanted to talk to Bernie about was the Hillary thing. So let's see how he's handling that.
Secretary Clinton, as you know, said that as a senator, you got nothing done and that no one likes you. What's your response to that?
On a good day, my wife likes me. So let's clear the air on that one. Right now, today, I am dealing with impeachment. We are very proud that the American College of Physicians has just come on board for Medicare for All. Thousands of doctors did an open letter to the New York Times on Medicare for All. And right now, what my focus is on is, outside of the impeachment trial, is doing everything I can to defeat the most dangerous president in modern American history.
Which is what you're doing in the impeachment trial,
not
too.
Really about all that.
But so one of the things Secretary Clinton said was about your supporters and criticizing them.
Look, Secretary Clinton is entitled to her point of view. My job today is to focus on the impeachment trial. My job today is to put together a team that can defeat the most dangerous president in the history of the United States of America.
Why do you think the secretary is still talking about 2016?
That is a good question. Ask him.
I love that response. But the first two, just like, eh, whatever. I'm I ain't focused on that.
Mitch
I'm doing
McConnell,
this other thing.
The Senate Majority Leader says,
fuck this. This doesn't matter. So what do you make of that? He doesn't really seem like he's too keen to go relive 2016 and get into the mud with Hillary.
I don't really think he benefits at all from it, so I don't blame him. Like,
I mean, she's not a candidate,
yeah,
so
this is one of those times where Bernie's, like, you know, non-confrontational style works well, because he basically just diffused the whole thing and pivoted to, you know, things he considers to be more important. And because it's such a weak, limp-wristed attack, that's all you got to do, really. Like, so he doesn't have to sling mud.
So you think he was in this instance, he was right to just shrug it off and be like, eh.
Yeah, because Hillary's a nobody in this fucking campaign. Her fucking opinion matters less and less every day, and I don't think he gains anything by jumping back into the fucking ring with her.
No, she's not running, so whatever.
I do think it's funny that Trump has a stronger reaction than Bernie.
Well, dude, there's no way Donald Trump's going to pass up an opportunity to shit on Hillary Clinton.
Right. I mean, Bernie would never say, well, nobody likes her. You know what I mean? It wouldn't just, that's just not,
Trump, it's not his style.
Trump ain't got no problem doing that.
Speaking of Clinton, Tulsi Gabbard is suing Clinton for defamation over Russian asset comments. Rep Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii is suing Hillary Clinton for defamation over the former Secretary of State's remarks on a podcast characterizing the Democratic presidential candidate as a Russian asset. Gabbard filed a defamation lawsuit Wednesday in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Gabbard's lawyers allege that Clinton's comments have smeared Gabbard's political and personal reputation. Tulsi Gabbard is a loyal American civil servant who has also dedicated her life to protecting the safety of all Americans, Gabbard lawyer Brian Dunn said in a statement. Now, my opinion of this, publicity stunt.
Of course.
Total publicity stunt, because there's just, you know, do I think Clinton's comments about towards Gabbard were ridiculous? I do.
Yeah.
Do I think they meet the fucking criteria for defamation? I don't. Because first of all, Hillary made sure to not mention Gabbard by name as she was talking about it. It was clear she was talking about Gabbard, but she never actually mentioned her by name. So there's that level of ambiguity there. But more than that, she didn't ever say that she was overtly working for Russia. You know, the statement could be interpreted as, well, Russia is propping her up because they want her to win. That doesn't necessarily connote that she's compliant with that plot. And another thing is just the standard for defamation in America is super high. You can't just prove that someone lied about you in this country. You have to prove that they knowingly lied about you.
And maliciously.
Yeah, so they'd have to knowingly and maliciously be lying about you. Now, I think that if there was proof, you're not going to prove that in this case.
No.
So
I'm with you, though. I don't think that this is about actually winning. This is about getting her name back in the fucking papers.
Yes. And this is about showing her in a very public way taking on Hillary Clinton. Because it does seem to be part of Tulsi's sort of scheme or plan
look what's
to
in front
run
of
against
you.
Hillary Clinton, even though Hillary's not running.
If you don't see anything else on the screen, to know that your position, I believe, is correct, is 27,456 shares from this one article by The Hill.
Oh, it's trending on Twitter as well.
So, I mean, trending on Twitter. Yeah, you're 100% right, and it's actually been effective, so you can't really, I guess, blame her in that sense.
It looks like it's the number two most popular story on The Hill today. I don't know how many people are reading this, but, I mean, it's trending on Twitter, being shared here. It's obviously being shared in other places
as well. I
hadn't
heard anything from Tulsi in a while, honestly, so...
So, yeah, this is probably...
Puts her name back in the media.
This is a clever way of getting her name back in the headlines and getting it back in a way that says, hey, I'm defying the Clinton machine, so all of you anti-establishment people be impressed.
Right.
But I don't think there's a legitimate case for defamation here. But I could be wrong. Who knows? Maybe there's something I don't know. I'm not claiming to be some sort of legal expert. Let's move on to some non-political stories for a little while. We're going to return to the politics a little later in the show. So this is a big thing that a lot of people are wringing their hands about right now, this coronavirus.
The latest bird flu.
Yes.
The latest swine flu.
The latest
H1N1.
H1N1. Every once in a while, just when you forget the fear-mongering over the last potential pandemic, they find a new one to wring their hands over. So coronavirus death toll doubles to 17 as more than 470 cases of mutating bug confirmed.
And I was actually reading something about this earlier, too, that said that there are people that believe that China is vastly underrepresenting the amount of people that have died from this.
That's very possible.
And China is, of course, a regime that has been known to do that.
I mean, just look at the level of precautions they're taking there. So,
right.
It's believable that maybe this is a little bit more.
One of the articles you polled previously, it was talking about they were shutting down transportation in that part of China. It's like Wuhan, China.
Yeah. That city is basically on lockdown right now.
Look, if you research anything about pandemics, and there's a thing on Netflix called that Vox does with Netflix is, called, and they did one on pandemics. And it basically explains, if you talk to the leading researchers in the world on this issue, it's not a question of is this going to happen? It's when is this going to happen?
Right.
And this could be it, but we don't know.
Yeah, but we're always kind of hyping the new disease, so it's almost like...
I went on Google search trends, and I looked into this, and the state that searched the most for this was Everett, Washington, where the guy was actually the first confirmed U.S. case.
Well, of course they're going to be.
And people were searching for? The movie Contagion from 2011.
Yeah. Let's watch Contagion and build up our fear a little more. Latest figures reveal 471 cases in China, with 4 in Thailand, 2 in Hong Kong, and 1 in the U.S.,
so
Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan.
Anything in Iceland or Madagascar yet?
No.
I think I'm more inclined to be affected by this because I'm currently listening to The Stand as I go to bed every night.
Oh, shit.
And so my brain is in pandemic mode. Dude, there's a line in that fucking book that just gives me shivers, dude.
What is it? Do you remember it?
It's really early. It's earlier on in the book, and it's during one of the short chapters where he's just describing that. I love those parts where he's just describing the disease and how it spreads from one character to the next to the next.
Yeah.
And he said, Frank finished up his meal. I'm paraphrasing probably poorly here. Frank finished up his meal, and he left the waitress a dollar tip that was crawling with death. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Shit, dude.
They're making a new little mini-series of that, too. That's probably, I don't know if it's going to be any good. But,
The Stand.
It's such a good book.
I know that Marilyn Manson is playing a role in it. I think he's rumored to be playing the Trash Can Man.
Cool.
The virus could be declared a global health crisis today after cases of the mystery bug increased from 300 in one day. It comes as British experts said that up to 10,000 people could already be infected amid fears the death rate is currently the same as the Spanish flu epidemic, which killed millions after World War I. The World Health Organization is holding an emergency committee meeting in Geneva today to determine if the outbreak should be classified as a global crisis like the West African Ebola outbreak of 2014-15. Deputy Director of the National Health Commission, Lee Bin, said that all the deaths had been in the Hubei province, home to Weihun City, where the first illnesses from the coronavirus were reported in late December. So, could this be the next big pandemic that wipes out millions? Sure.
The media wants you to think so.
Is it going to be? I don't know. Probably not.
The media really makes, they make hay with this type of shit. But I think in this instance, there is a reason. Because we are at greater risk for this type of shit than at any time in human history. Because there are more people traveling over a wider geographic expanse now. We're truly a global society now. So a lot of these big outbreaks that happened regionally because there wasn't much commerce between these places. Now we live in a world where people are just hopscotching all over the fucking face of the globe.
Every day, all the time.
And we live in a world that's been over-prescribing fucking antibiotics and shit.
Which, by the way, this thing is totally resistant to antibiotics.
Right, that's what I'm saying. No shock. Like, so we're taking our only defense against some of these things. And completely ineffectualizing it by, instituting this mass just, every time somebody's got a cold, give them antibiotics.
Well, overprescription's a big part of it, but also really what the hotbed of it has been factory farming, because in order to get these animals to grow faster and bigger, they just feed them tons of antibiotics and hormones.
They actually have traced this back to a specific grocer in China, and some of the things they were selling was rat meat, and they were also selling live wolf pups.
Oh,
what happens is these animals have these diseases, and then like you said, it spreads to a person, and then it's just like, if your immune system has never seen anything like that, you just get really sick and die, or you become a carrier and you spread it to somebody else in your family, and then suddenly it's just this huge thing. And China is a perfect hotbed of that because they have so many animals they keep in these places to sell people live animals for meat.
When I told my wife about this coronavirus, she thought that I was trying to make some kind of weird joke at the expense of that terrible beer. She's like, oh, yeah, coronavirus, whatever. You get that from drinking too much Corona. And then later she saw it on, like, Twitter or something. Like, you were serious about that?
So Paul's a globalist. How do we deal with this? Except if you don't think there's any borders, wouldn't this proliferate the spread of disease?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh, so Paul, if Paul doesn't get the fucking nukes, he's like, pandemic's good enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Georgia Guidestones are right. I think at a certain point we need to kind of cut the fucking population by a few billion. You know what I mean?
Gotta cut the fat.
Yeah. Skim the scum off the top of the heat.
If you're not strong enough to survive the coronavirus, you're not strong enough to be here.
Look, we run you through a room filled with coronavirus. You come out, we keep you in isolation, you survive for a week, you're good. If not, we shoot you in the head, you don't pass on your genetics.
I don't really have any strong preferences, but I'm just ready for this apocalypse to happen. I'm cool with a meteor strike. I'm cool with the nukes. You know, I'm cool with some super bug that can't be fixed or whatever. I'm cool with, like, zombies. Whatever we want
to
do.
As long as you get to your end result, right. You don't care.
I'm just ready. I'm just ready for it to go.
The ends justify the means.
Man stabs, kills pro-Trump boss, drapes American flag over him, deputies say.
Okay.
Wow.
Mason Trevor Tony faces murder charge and death of William Knight. Now, I saw the folks at the Donald bitching about this and saying, like, this is some kind of
hate
Democrat
crime.
That did this. It's not. This guy is apparently a radical anti-government sort of character. A construction worker with anti-government beliefs is accused of fatally stabbing his boss, who was a proud and outspoken American and pro-Donald Trump, according to Orange County Sheriff's arrest affidavit. Mason Trevor Tony, 28, was arrested Monday on murder charges in the death of his boss, William Knight, 28. The fatal stabbing was reported at 10:45 a.m. at a construction site at exit 254 of Florida's Turnpike near State Road 528. According to the arrest affidavit, a 911 caller reported that his coworker, identified as Tony, stabbed and killed their boss. Deputies said they found Knight dead next to an excavator with a brand new American flag over the side of his body. Witnesses said Tony was spotted carrying a backpack, which was likely carrying the flag, according to the affidavit. Witnesses said Tony and Knight were friends outside of the workplace, and Knight picked up Tony earlier in the day. Witnesses said Tony and Knight got into an argument, possibly over their opposing views of the U.S. government. According to the affidavit, Tony is very outspoken about his beliefs and has said the government is out to get him. Well, they are now. They got you now.
You know, ironically, they weren't before, but yeah, now they are. Or they were. Yeah.
Witnesses said they heard Knight yell for help and saw Tony repeatedly stabbing him with a trowel, according to the affidavit.
Fuck, a trowel?
I guess so.
Deputy said witnesses tried to stop the attack and threw things at Tony. So they just, like, chucked rocks at him and shit?
Who jumped into a truck and drove away while calling the witnesses terrorists. Tony was later taken into custody in Brevard County and placed under arrest. Tony is being held in Orange County without bond.
This guy sounds fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
A GoFundMe page has been created to pay for Knight's funeral expenses. Yeah, this guy sounds like a total Looney Tune to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
little out of it.
Kills his fucking. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of people can appreciate the power fantasy of, like, my boss said that one last time they're gonna backtalk me or say some mean shit to me, but this guy went a little far with that.
I don't know that the pro Trump thing has much to do with it, but
no, that just got inserted.
That's just like, yeah, this'll give the article a little more spice.
Yeah, I like how this guy's reduced down to, like, he liked Trump, now he's dead.
He liked Trump, he got stabbed. What does that tell you, America? Huh? Huh? Yeah, I don't think that had much to do with it.
Maybe it did. We'll find out, I guess. Well, we probably won't because we'll never see another article about this story again. But
that's a shame.
Yeah, we get the clickbait headline one. We don't really get the follow-ups.
Virginia gun rights rally incredibly peaceful, defying expectations of hysterical media.
I mean, I gotta say that like there was a little bit of hysteria about this in the days leading up
there
to
it. There certainly was. There still is. I saw another article. I didn't pull it, but it basically, even after the thing went off without any reports of injury or violence or anything like that, there was still an opinion piece in, I think it was the Philadelphia Inquirer or some such paper that said, let's call the Virginia gun protest for what it was, an act of terrorism. It's like, what?
What?
It wasn't, though. How was it an act of fucking
shit,
terrorism?
I was reading things that they were going to storm the state house and, you know, start taking hostages and
right.
shit.
And in fairness, there was people on their side, too, that were sure that there was going to be liberal infiltrators that were going to do violence to make everybody else look bad. That didn't happen either. I mean, these people, they showed up, they protested. There was no one was shot. No one was killed.
I saw the media coverage and it was like these two talking heads are like, I forget where I saw, but it's like, we're very fortunate. It was a peaceful rally. But what could have happened if it went bad?
Then what could have happened? We're covering alternate realities
now? Yeah, so
it was like
30 seconds of like, it was like the coverage of like, here's the guys out there with their guns. And it was all like, well, fortunately, nothing bad happened. But what could have went south fast? And like, they spent 4 to 5 minutes talking about all the bad scenarios that could have happened.
That could have happened.
TJ, read the fucking sickest burn ever in the first line of this article.
It was a rally for gun rights, but the media were filled with gun wrongs.
Oh, snap,
slam dunk. Dunk.
Woo! Fox Woo. News,
dude. I need a slide whistle when that shit happens.
Boop.
Oh, I'll just use you. I'll just say Paul slide whistle. Gun rights supporters had organized a big rally in Richmond, Virginia, to protest several gun control bills being pushed by the Democrat-controlled legislature. By the way, these gun control bills these guys are protesting, so weak and ineffectual.
Yeah,
anyway.
Wasn't it something like
it was like
you
can only buy one handgun a month.
Bullshit.
No!
I need to buy 20.
And then there was like, oh, there's going to be background checks. So it was really weird that they even felt the need to protest this. I learned, though, that a lot of these gun people, they don't really have a sense of nuance about this issue. Like, for them, it's either you're pro-gun or you're anti-gun, and there's no
yeah.
in-between.
Any legislation, no matter how fucking weak or limp-wristed or half-measured
it is.
It's
an attempt to confiscate
right.
all guns. That's just how they view it.
Well, I think a lot of the smarter ones that I've heard talk about it say that it's not necessarily about that one piece of legislation, but the slow creep of these
right,
legislations.
Right, it's a slippery slope. Right,
right. right.
Yeah. And that does happen. So, but, you know, I just feel like you can't... I feel like you can't assume that's going to happen. Like, you know, there's such a thing as like, you can go, you don't have like, there's all, it's like part of this, like, where does it stop mentality? It's like, yeah, well, eventually it does stop, you know, like
maybe it doesn't. See, that's the thing. I think that like, I'm not a gun rights guy, but I think the gun rights people, especially the hardcore, anybody should be able to get a gun for whatever reason type of people have every reason to be worried, because I think that's exactly what's happening. I think that slowly but surely, we're seeing these, you know, little fucking gun registrations or gun background check requirements in states that previously didn't have them. And I think that over time, eventually, you're going to see a lot more restrictive environment when it comes to getting guns, period. I think that that's the stated goal of these, like, the people that oppose guns.
Right.
Pretty much.
Is to slowly but surely change the political climate and the social climate
but you
and
have
the
to...
legislative climate so that eventually they can enact stronger controls on guns.
Yeah, but you have to win sort of a war for public opinion to get that.
See, but that's my thing is like I want to brush aside the public opinion and just have both sides argue out that fucking fundamental issue, because I totally support the idea of I'd rather have it happen all at once. But I'm totally fine with this slow, creeping fucking thing that eventually leads to some safe and sane fucking gun laws in this country. They keep these fucking weapons out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them.
Yeah, so unstable people.
Do you think this Virginia rally is going to hinder this legislation or
probably
make,
not.
Make these politicians back down from it?
I think they're going to vote it through.
Probably not.
I mean, now, could it stall the bill? Could it make the bill weaker? That's definitely a possibility. But
I mean, the bill's already pretty damn weak. It's a number of bills. It's not just one bill.
Well, yeah, sure.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as it goes, though, I mean, like, you know, the gun nuts came and they protested and no one got hurt.
I mean,
no one was damaged, so.
I mean, honestly, if they want to come out and protest and make their voice heard, that's the way to do it.
And they have a right to do it.
I mean, and honestly, they got everyone's attention. Obviously, the media spun it as like a bunch of crazy white nationalists are out there with, you know, and I mean, look, obviously, that's not to say that there was no white nationalists in the audience. Who knows? But I mean, is every protest, do we have to know the personal opinions of everyone that attends?
I don't think that being a gun rights advocate does not make you a fucking white supremacist or a white nationalist or anything else. It just means you support fucking guns. That's what it means. So, well, I think to extrapolate all these other positions onto these people is really fucking bogus and unfair.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not even on their side. Cleveland cop who urinated on girl as she waited for bus gets 4.5 years in prison. This is a weird story. Cleveland, Ohio, especially when you consider this, like, this is a cop. So, I mean, like,
what the fuck, dude?
Cop has other options, you know, to make someone comply. They don't have to pee on you.
This is the extent you have to go to as a cop, by the way, to get
charged. Actually get in trouble.
Like, how are they going to spend you pissing on somebody?
In fairness, we have seen cops suffering a lot more repercussions as of late.
Paul, he had incontinence. Yeah, he had to go.
A judge on Tuesday handed down a 4.5-year prison sentence to a former Cleveland police officer who admitted to urinating on a 12-year-old girl after she refused to get in his car at a school bus stop.
Who was the child in the situation?
Solomon Nihu. Well, we'll find out. I'm reading the article. Solomon Nihuatu, 34, showed no emotion during his only chance to speak before Common Pleas Court Judge Wanda C. Jones before she handed down her sentence. I would like to apologize to the victim, Nihuatua said. Why do you keep using his last name? What's his first name again?
Solomon.
His name is Solomon. Solomon stood silent for several seconds before Jones asked if he had anything else to say. I take responsibility for what I did, he said. Then he sat down. Jones said he was not convinced Solomon was truly sorry for his conduct. She said the physical and mental abuse he inflicted on the girl and his position as a police officer, which required him to protect the community from the very types of attacks he carried out, required consecutive sentences. Solomon faced a maximum of 7.5 years in prison after he pleaded guilty in December to charges of attempted kidnapping, pandering obscenity, disseminating matter harmful to juveniles, and endangering children in the August 16th attack. As part of his plea agreement, Solomon agreed to resign his position with the Cleveland Police and his license to be a police officer in the state of Ohio. Well, that's good. He could still go to another state and be a police officer. Solomon, who was hired to the force in 2014, was... I want to know what the fucking story is here. He's been disciplined 4 times in his 5 years with the Cleveland Police. Oh, that's good. Keep disciplining him. Yeah, I mean, like, he's only been on in the police since 2014. He's been disciplined 4 fucking times, and you don't realize there's a fucking problem. The second time you have to discipline a cop should be like, hey, this is... Pretty serious business.
This guy was on a fucking power trip, and the police protect their own. I mean, he had to do something. I mean, look, this guy had to do an egregious act that literally any person recognized as just wrong. He fucking had to drop his fucking pants or pull his dick out and piss on a fucking 12-year-old. And this guy's a fucking
cop. All
right,
so let's listen to this. This is when they actually tell you the story.
Okay.
So Solomon was off duty, so he's not even in his official capacity as a cop. Drove up to the girl. She waited for the bus to take her to school. Asked if she needed a ride. The girl refused his offers. And he drove away.
And that's where that should have ended.
Solomon then returned on foot, pulled out his cell phone, and recorded himself as he urinated on her, according to court records. The girl yelled at him, "What is your problem?" And he said, "What's wrong, bitch?" Solomon continued to record video with his cell phone as he walked away. Pretty smart cop, too, to be sure to capture evidence of his wrongdoing.
Man, what the fuck?
A resident nearby called police to report a suspicious person later identified as Solomon looking into cars around the same time. Police pieced together. This guy's a fucking psycho, all
right? Right. He snapped.
This is just a psycho. I mean, he didn't snap. This guy was a psycho with a badge the whole fucking time. I mean, Maybe he did snap. But, like, this guy's a fucking psycho. This guy's a psycho.
Scroll down.
DNA taken from the girl's clothes matched Solomon, and the girl identified him in a photo lineup, prosecutors say.
Now read this next one here.
Jones and assistant Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Jennifer Driscoll criticized the Euclid Police Department for not taking the girl's report seriously at first.
She was victimized twice, Jones told the girl's father. The fact that the report was taken right away is quite disturbing.
Because
it wasn't taken right away.
And why do you think that was? Why do you think that was? When they showed up to investigate...
Because he was a P.I.G.
Because he had to... He went, you know what, guys? I'm a cop. And they went, oh, you're a cop. All these people are lying about me. Then obviously when all the evidence comes out...
So the cops and rich people, the only people who are actually treated like they're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
So,
yep, of course.
Or innocent until... proven innocent, basically, in most cases. I mean, like, if it wasn't for this fucking video, if this motherfucker hadn't taken video evidence and there was no such thing as DNA testing, obviously this is an example of something that in the past the cop would have just gotten away with scot-free.
Because how can you prove it? He just goes, no, I didn't. And she goes, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Well,
I believe the cop over this fucking lying bitch.
Why would we believe a fine police officer of the Cleveland, Ohio Police Department would do such a heinous act?
I think it'd be ludicrous to believe such a tall tale.
I mean, this young girl here, she has a wild imagination.
Yeah, if this did happen, perhaps the victim was on fire. The cop was just pissing on her to extinguish the flames.
She threatened to set herself on fire, so he wanted to douse her clothes with the only fire-retardant liquid he had on hand.
A man allegedly killed three teens by ramming his car into another vehicle on purpose. So this incident was initially thought to be a hit-and-run, but it's now being investigated as a homicide. So a Southern California man intentionally rammed his car into another vehicle carrying six teenage boys on Sunday night, killing three of them, authorities said.
Wow.
The man allegedly ran his vehicle into the other car, causing it to go off the road and collide with a tree in Temescal Valley, about 60 miles southeast of Los Angeles. One of the teens died at the scene. The other five were transported to local hospitals with injuries, according to Riverside County Fire Department. Two of the injured teens died later. The other three suffered non-life-threatening injuries. California Highway Patrol Lieutenant David Yokely told reporters their names have not yet been released. Anurag Chandra, a 42-year-old from the area, was arrested shortly after the incident, Yokely said. The initial investigation led us to believe it was a hit-and-run collision. However, due to witnesses who came forward and the subsequent investigation, we were able to determine this was an intentional act. Chandra was taken into custody at his home and charged with three counts of murder, a spokesperson for the California Highway Patrol told BuzzFeed News. He is being held without bail. It is unclear whether he has retained an attorney. A motive is not yet known, and authorities are now looking into Chandra was known to the victims. Obviously, like I said, there was some sort of contact which led to this incident, Yorkley said. A representative for Riverside County Sheriff's Department did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
AI drivers, please.
Yeah.
Self-driving cars now, please.
Get the damn phoners out of your country, Tasia.
So this guy, basically, there's a car with like six teenagers in it, probably fucking being little assholes. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I remember when I was a teenager, you know, if it was me and a bunch of friends in a fucking car or whatever
we were
probably up to some bullshit.
Six teenage boys on a Sunday night, they were doing some bullshit.
Yeah. So maybe they did something to piss them off. They probably didn't do anything worthy of a fucking death sentence.
Yeah, I mean, should they be rammed off the fucking road? I mean, yeah, maybe they're assholes. Maybe the guy should have yelled at him and said, you guys are a bunch of dipshits or something. But to get so mad, he runs them off the road, killing them or killing three of them. That's a little fucking extreme, don't you think?
Yes. I just thought it was I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. I just kind of thought it was an interesting story. You don't really hear about this kind of murder too often.
But you know the thing is, too, this just shows you never know who you're fucking with. And I mean, and maybe this...
Especially in a car. And I mean, like...
And maybe
know,
these kids didn't fuck with him at all. He just snapped. I mean, we don't know. But you just never know who the fuck is out there and is going to do some crazy-ass fucking shit.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it really just goes back to Paul's point, I think, about, like, man, the sooner we can get away from human drivers, the better.
Oh, my God, yes.
What if this still happens, though? What if it's like, Unit 23A would like to pass you as you are going well below the speed limit.
Denied.
Unit 23A's request to pass is denied. Well, fuck you, bitch. Unit 23A will run you off the road.
Dude, I hope that happens. That sounds awesome. I mean, not when I get killed by the, you know, little robot wars or AI wars, but...
Yeah.
It does sound interesting for dystopian future.
Terry Jones, Monty Python star, dies aged 77.
Damn,
it's a shame.
Monty Python star Terry Jones has died at the age of 77 after having suffered with dementia.
I mean, people knew that he had dementia for years.
By the way, I didn't for some reason grab this story. I think I meant to, but I forgot. But there's been a 35% increase in dementia in the last like 5 or 10 years, or some crazy short amount.
Well, also people are living longer. But, well, in some parts of the world, not the U.S., technically, our life expectancy has gone down. But actually, the number of people living longer periods of time has gone up. And it's like, I think if you get like over the age of 85, there's like a 1 in 2 chance you're going to develop symptoms of Alzheimer's or dementia.
But I guess Terry Jones had it for quite a while.
He did.
A statement from his family said, "We have all lost a kind, funny, warm, creative, and truly loving man." Fellow Python Sir Michael Palin described Jones as one of the funniest writer-performers of his generation. John Cleese said, "It feels strange that a man of so many talents and such endless enthusiasm should have faded so gently away." He added, "One of his many achievements, for me, the greatest gift he gave us all was his direction of Life of Brian, perfection." Probably my favorite of the Python movies, by the way.
Yeah, mine as well.
The Welsh comic actor, writer, and director died on Monday, 4 years after contracting a rare form of dementia known as FTD. Palin went on, "Terry was one of my closest, most valued friends. He was kind, generous, supportive, and passionate about living life to the full. He was far more than one of the funniest writer performers of his generation. He was the complete Renaissance comedian, writer, director, presenter, historian, brilliant children's author, and the warmest, most wonderful company you could wish to have." A bunch of other comedy figures weighing in, like Stephen Fry. I don't really know who these other guys are, but they weighed in, I guess, as well. Yeah, just crazy. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, like I can probably expect to see a lot more people like this dying. I think we just covered recently how, you know, a lot of the big rock legends are definitely due to start dropping off like flies. I mean, just case in point, you know, Ozzy Osbourne recently announced that he has Parkinson's disease,
which is not a total shock given, you know, watching him over
right.
the years.
You know, I think he might have had it for a while.
Yeah.
He came clean to U.S. TV show Good Morning America. That he has a mild form they found out after suffering a fall last February. If you watch his most recent music video, by the way, he never stands up in the whole video. He basically sits on a park bench.
Which is what we said they should do for his tours. They should just build him a big flying throne. That
yes.
You know,
fuck yeah, dude.
Fire coming out of it and shit. And just let him sit.
I think he actually does have a throne that he sits in for most of his concerts now.
Well, let him sit in it the whole concert.
Yeah, just let him sit down. Let him sit down. He's
cool. He's 71. He's got yeah. Parkinson's.
Let him sit on a mint julep and let him put his feet up.
Yeah. Ozzy, you just relax, man. People are lucky to even be in your presence.
Well, what's his name? Dave Grohl broke his leg or something. He just did all his shows on a fucking... He sat down and did his shows. Ozzy can do the same shit. He's 71. Come on.
Manson did that too. He just got a fucking crazy goffed out wheelchair to fucking ride around in. It's not a death sentence, but it affects certain nerves in your body. You have a good day, then a really bad day. Ozzy added it was hard to tell whether the numbness symptoms he had were from Parkinson's or from the fall. Ozzy's in poor health.
We can hear him talk about it up there, or try to.
We can hear him attempt to talk about it.
It's not easy to be so transparent. You've always been an open book. But something like this so personal.
I'm not going to be secrets. I cannot walk around with it anymore. Because it's like I'm running out of excuses, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just go, hey, this is the deal. I hope you don't leave me.
It's not easy.
That's kind of sad that he thinks people would like not like him anymore because he has Parkinson's.
Man. What? Poor fucking
it's not going to happen. Ozzy, let me tell you something, dude. People are always going to love you. It's okay.
Yeah, man.
You don't got to worry about that,
yeah,
man.
Dude, yeah,
no, yeah, that was a sad clip,
that
man.
Makes me sad that he's
I'm a little misty-eyed, man.
Yeah.
How could you not be
No one's leaving
that.
Ozzy. Just, you're fine, man.
Man, I was just such a consummate performer, dude. And just fucking being like, you know what? I don't want to make fucking excuses. I mean, because it is hard to share your personal health details because it feels so it's such a personal thing. And I mean, it takes fucking definitely some gravitas and balls to go on a national news show and be like, hey, you know, I got this fucking
I mean, like, I understand, too, it's probably hard to show, like, a more vulnerable side when you've been like, I'm the fucking Prince of Darkness and, you know, all that shit for so many years. I'm the Iron Man and I'm, you know, whatever else. But I guess that probably concludes our pleb section.
Stop phoning
good.
In, guys.
End the pleb section with a bunch of sadness so they can weep tears of fucking regret for not being fucking patrons.
Absolutely. So we got a lot of stuff. We got a couple trailers we're going to react to. We got some dumb Trump stuff. We got some more politics stuff. We got what else do we have?
We got a fucking buffet of shit waiting for us.
We got a bunch of stuff about how America's drinking water's bad. We got some furry stories. We got some fucking dead body stories. We got some rooster stories. We got all kinds of shit. But you ain't going to see it unless you're a patron, because you guys just watched the first half of the show, which is free to everybody. Second half is conveniently behind a paywall. So cough up that cheddar, and I don't think you'll regret that you did, because we have one of the best patrons, Patreons.
And believe
ever.
Us, we know Patreons.
We know Patreons, and Oz is the best.
What do you mean one of the best? It's the best.
It's the best. It's flat out the best.
Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried.